take a few minutes to welcome one another into the, you know, whether you're here, the family, family God, just take a few moments to welcome one another. Good to have you all. Glad you're here. So. Okay. Wow, that's good, isn't it? Turn around and see who's around you. Say hello. God bless you. I love you. Glad you're here. You're part of the family. Wonderful. There's a couple of things this week. It's a busy week. Of course, today is Palm Sunday. Hosanna. Glory to God. You know, glory to the Son of David. The day that he Jesus triumphantly walked into Jerusalem. And so that's what we recognize on Palm Sunday. This week we have several things happening. If you're a part of the Mission Commission, there's a special meeting time. It's not our normal time. It's Tuesday at 2 o'clock. So if you look at that and are able to make that, the Mission Commission meeting will be Tuesday at 2 o'clock. Prime timers on Wednesday. So, yeah. So, gotten excited. We heard we's having meatloaf. We're all excited. So, if you want to be a part of that, please let Donna know so that we have enough for everybody. But please let her know so you can be a part of that. Thursday evening, now along with choir practice, just before choir practice there at 6 o'clock, we're going to have a Maundy Thursday service. I don't know if you've ever been to it. We hope that it will be inspirational to you. And a benefit to you along your spiritual journey. If you're again a women's Bible study, they have another opportunity for a women's Bible study. You want to be a part of that? They're getting ready to form up, so make sure you let somebody know. It starts the 20th on a Wednesday evening. So please take part of that. And If the men yesterday were supposed to have a work day, but it got a little cold and we didn't work. So I hope you women had plenty for them to do yesterday when they got home, you know. So that's last thing I want to say, I think I saw it on the news this morning. I saw it on the news this morning, but I'm not sure I caught. But I thought they sent 5 paying guests up to the space station. Did you see that? They think you're going to be up there 10 days, and I think the price was $55 million. Was that correct? Correct for 5 days at the space station. Well, I'm going to tell you what. If you want to zoom into space, be ready, because one day the Lord is going to come back and he's going to take those that are his, and that flight is free. And that flight is not just for 10 days, it's for eternity. And you know what? The price was paid, and all you have to do is accept it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, accept him as your Savior, and you've got a guaranteed ride on that flight. Isn't that wonderful? Well, God bless you. I'm glad. Now, before I sit down, I'm going to ask Larry Lonis to say a word or two about the meeting we're going to have in a couple weeks and why we're going to have that meeting. So we're a congregational church, so we want you all to know what's happening. So he's going to tell you what's happening, and then we'll get on with our songs.
Got 2 steps. Yeah. I have to watch the steps nowadays the way my eyes are. And I did see the sunshine. That is the sunshine out there, right? Okay. I tried to work yesterday over here at West Jeff a little bit, and I liked to froze to death. But it's just a matter of time before we'll all be mowing the grass again. And I'm here to make an announcement that we, as trustees, have decided to upgrade our zero turn. It's getting some hours on it. It's been a great tractor. It's a Kubota 60-inch. We have got a quote and have voted on a 72-inch with a floating seat to make it more comfortable for the people that mow. And you know, the last couple of years, they've done an exceptional job, haven't they? I mean, just wonderful. There's hardly, I don't want to say it now because they may all come out, but the dandelions are about all gone. We used to have nothing but a dandelion field at one time. But anyway, I'm making the announcement now. This is a legal vote that the congregation must take on the 24th. So if you're a voting member, make sure you're here on the 24th. The price of the zero turn is a little over 19,000. They're going to give us some credit and going to take our trade in at 6,000. So our difference is about 12,300 to get a new tractor. Now this is a commercial grade 72-inch tractor. So I'm making that announcement to the congregation now. And keep in mind, it will be posted for 2 weeks. Legally, we have to do that. And this is good because it's the money you're voting for. So we are asking for about 12,300, maybe. Verna has all the exact details if you want to look over the proposal. And we'll be voting on that on the 24th. But keep in mind that the grass is growing, and it grows out here pretty fast. And it is a lot of work. Our volunteers do a tremendous job. I have been a volunteer at one time. Don't do it so much anymore, only if they need me. But I do help maintain the equipment, being a trustee. So thank you very much. And make sure that you're here on the 24th if you want to vote. And any details you want to look, even look at the picture, I think Verna has all the details. So our expenditure would be $12,300. It is not a budgeted item, so it would come out of the rainy day fund. And we do have the funds to purchase it. Thank you.
Just lead us in a word of prayer this morning before the choir sings. Heavenly Father, we welcome you here. You're already here. But we think about what this day represents and Jesus walking in and everybody celebrating him and what he's about to do. And we're so thankful because he chose to die for us. So we worship you this morning, King Jesus. Hosanna in the highest. The Lamb of God who was slain. In your name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
It's okay. I got you.
After supper, Jesus led the disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane. There he told them to keep watch as he went to pray alone. Though in emotional anguish, Jesus submitted himself to the Father's plan of redemption. As the night deepened, the sound of soldiers' feet and the flicker of torches approached as Judas the betrayer led a pack of temple guards and priests to find Jesus and arrest him. These men dragged Jesus all over Jerusalem as Jesus faced trial after trial, rebuked by the chief priests, mocked by Herod, and called into question by Pilate. Hours of accusations were met with silence as Jesus calmly accepted his task. Angry mobs began to swarm the city, demanding a sentence of death. Though Pilate could find no fault in him, the crowds and the priests were relentless. He finally gave in to the unyielding pressure and sentenced Jesus to die. He was beaten, bruised, torn, his head bloodied by a crown of thorns, forced to carry a heavy cross through the city. He made his way to Calvary. Nails pierced his feet, his hands, the weight of sin crushed through to his heart. And as the afternoon sun blackened, Jesus became the Lamb.
Thank you.
The cross. It is arguably the most recognized symbol in history. Before Jesus died, its very mention brought to mind images of punishment, torture, and death. But ever since that day, the cross has said one thing: God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes on him will have eternal life.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the demands my soul. My life, my all. If you guys would stand with me, we're going to sing about the amazing grace of Jesus. This is the hardest to sing. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers.
Ransom, didn't he? Heard me the second time. We look forward to Easter, not because he died, but because we know that he rose. And Palm Sunday is the day he headed on that trip, didn't he? He was going towards the cross. And people thought they knew who he was, but they didn't know who he was. We'll talk about that this morning. Anybody have any praises they want to share this morning?
This week we saw the Oscars, if anybody watched it. I want to nominate the women of Ukraine. I think of these women having children, being crossing the border into Poland and Germany and other countries. I think of these women having children, losing their husband to stay and fight from 18 to 60. And I see these women as they listen to their little children say, "Mommy, when are we going home? I want a diaper." Why are we here? I want to say something to you. If you were that mother or that father, War is a terrible thing, right, brother? I want to say this to you. I nominate these ladies because last night I saw on TV this room, which was several times bigger than this, all these people were packed in, and this one man tied himself to the wall to sleep. I want to say one other thing. I really appreciate the people who invited them into their home in Germany, in Poland, and all these other countries. Would you do that? Would you do that? I want to say one more thing, and I'll sit down. God is love.
Amen. Anybody else have a praise this morning that they want to share? Linda?
Good morning, church. I just want to remind everybody how much we need our faith in life. I was thrown a real big curveball this week, and I really had to rely on my faith to get me through. I woke up at midnight, Sunday night, to my smoke alarms going off and water flooding through my ceilings in my apartment. I didn't know what was going on. Of course, I can't see. I said a little prayer before I jumped out of bed. I ran around, I checked for smoke. There was no smoke. The washer machine upstairs that was just installed leaked out over 40 gallons of water. Mm. I had enough wits about me. I just kept saying, please, Jesus, what do I do? What do I do? I ran out of my apartment with my phone. I forgot my cane. I walked three doors down without knocking into anything. Walked right up to my neighbor Randy's door and started pounding. When I got back, my ceilings were all flooded, my light fixtures, my carpet. But because my faith, I think the Holy Spirit walked me out of my apartment. Mm-hmm. And he walked me down there and made sure and said, Linda, follow me. When all else fails, please, please rely on your faith because there is nothing else that can get you through. Mm. So I just thank you for letting me share. Amen.
Anybody else? Call the lady in the front row.
I had a really nice weekend, or week, actually. I left on Tuesday and went to visit my sister Kathy, and I praise God for family. I think also, though, of what Linda has to say, you know, there, you get in a plane, and you realize your life is in God's hands and, you know, the pilot, and one of the things, you know, that kind of brings out that faith in a lot of people who maybe aren't necessarily faithful as we had or know God. They had some maintenance issues before we could take off, and they let us know it was a rough ride here. Sorry, we have maintenance issues, and so we stayed on the tarmac for a long time while somebody was underneath that plane. And when we took off, it was the loudest, I mean, grinding. I'm not a mechanic, but I could tell there's something wrong with that plane. And they, you know, you could tell the stewards and everybody was not very happy about us, and but we're up in the air, and when we landed, everybody clapped. We were all very glad. You know, it was pretty rough. It was loud. It was so loud, it was covering my ears. And but I praise God because, you know, as we're up there, just as Linda said, to know, you know, for me, I wasn't afraid. And there was a woman next to me. I put my arm around her. She was afraid. There were kids crying. And but just to have that assurance, you know, we're here on earth for a reason, like you said. Why are we here? To praise God. At one point, we're going to see the Lord, and we're going to be praising him face to face. And I thank God for that.
I was trying to see if she was glad because she was away or glad because she had a good trip. I was, Oh, she always has a good time visiting her sister, so they do that once a year. One goes there, one comes here, whatever it is. So it's a close relationship that they have. Any prayer requests we have? I know we have Jeff is facing hip surgery tomorrow. So we need to be praying for that. Pray for Donna. As she's going to be hopefully going home soon.
Donna Wharton. Hopefully going to be going home soon. She's hoping she can go home soon. And welcome back, Floridians. Well, you're kind of Floridians, but you're Ohio people, but you're back from the land over there to the land here. You're not down under until you're in Australia, so I couldn't say down under. You're just down over. Any other prayer requests this morning? Nope? Okay. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for bringing us here this morning. Lord, we look forward to the service with you this morning. Thank you for the music you've given us. Looking forward to Holly's song as well, The Road That You Traveled. Lord, we know even our lives, we travel those rough roads, those hard times, that you're there with us. We don't need to be afraid, but we can trust in you because you know what's going on. You know the answer. You have us in the palm of your hand. Lord, we look forward to Easter, not because you died, but because we know what came next, because we know you paid the price for our sin and that you gave us salvation. So thank you, Lord, for this day. And be with us, be with all the requests, even though we didn't mention all of them. Be with those requests, Lord, people that need you spiritually, those who need you physically, emotionally, financially. So Lord, we ask that in Jesus' name.
So we celebrate Easter because Christ gave his life and rose, and promises us that promise of eternal life. And we celebrate Palm Sunday because he was lauded as he entered Jerusalem as the king of the common man. And he is our king. But he paid that price for all of us. And it wasn't easy because he was fully man as well as fully God. And we need to remember that. Down the Via Dolorosa in Jerusalem that day, the soldiers tried to clear the narrow streets, but the crowd pressed in to see the man who died on Calvary. He was bleeding from a beating. There were stripes upon his back, and he wore a crown of thorns upon his head. He bore with every step the scorn of those who cried out for his death. Down the Via Dolorosa, called the Way of Suffering, like a lamb came our Messiah, Christ the King. But he chose to walk that road out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary. Via Dolorosa, triste ya Jerusalem, los soldados ya abren paso a Jesús. Mas hay gente se acercaba para ver aquella baba, aquella cruz. Por la Via Dolorosa, es la vía del dolor. Him, our Messiah, Christ the King. He's way out, can't he so here? For su amor, por ti, por mí. Por la vía dolorosa al Calvario y a morir. The blood that would cleanse the souls of all men made its way through the heart of Jerusalem. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way of suffering, like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. But he chose to walk that road out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary.
Thanks for that, Holly. We're going to have communion this morning, so take a few minutes to prepare yourself as Pam's going to play. Father, we just come before you this morning, Lord, to commune with you, to have a relationship, to have fellowship with you. And this morning, Lord, if anything is in our lives that shouldn't be there, we just confess them to you this morning, Lord, to make our relationship right in the way it should be. Lord, it says, on the night you were betrayed, Jesus, you took bread and broke it. He said, take and eat this, my body, broken for you. So let's eat the bread together. This represents your body that was broken for us while we were yet sinners. You died for us. And you took the cup and shared it. Your disciples said, this is my blood that's shed for you. It represents a new covenant. So let's take and drink. Father, we just give you praise this morning. Thank you for who you are, for what you've done for us. Your body was broken for us. Your blood was shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins. By grace through faith that we're saved. Thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus, the perfect Lamb, that he walked that road to the cross for us. We just give you the praise in your name. Amen. So here we are this morning. We just have had a chance to listen to our choir sing two great songs, and then Holly got to sing about the road to the cross, the Via Dolorosa. And we've heard this many times as Christians, right? We celebrate Palm Sunday, the day Jesus rode into Jerusalem before he was crucified, suffered, died, and then rose again. But what do you think of when you hear the phrase Palm Sunday? Some people think about getting dressed and going to church. Some people think about kids waving palm branches going around church. Remember when our kids were younger, used to carry palm branches and walk around the congregation all over the place. So maybe in a few years we'll have that same thing again, right? We have all these kids walking around. My kid had all the Neely kids, but I didn't want to put you on the spot, so I didn't want to do that. I was going to ask the older people, but I didn't have that much time. Didn't have that much time to walk around the church, so. To some people, Palm Sunday doesn't mean anything, which is kind of sad, isn't it? They don't know anything's going on, anything's different. Just like, oh, what's the big deal with this Palm Sunday? But to Christians, it's more than just a day about palm branches. It's Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem as being the Lord, proclaiming his lordship, proclaiming his kingship. Matthew 21, 1 through 6, familiar scripture we're just going to read. I have it up there for you to see. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you'll find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them, bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Disciples went and did as Jesus instructed them. So we're going to stop here for a minute. You know, Jesus could have came in on a horse, rode in a nice white horse as a triumphant king, but he chose to be on a donkey, or the foal of a donkey, colt. Well, why? If you look at this scripture, they're talking about fulfilling the prophecy was in Zechariah 9. 9, it says, rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion, shout, daughter Jerusalem, see your king comes to you righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on the colt, the foal of a donkey. This prophecy was proclaimed long before Christ came, wasn't it? It was told what was going to happen in the future. And he was there to fulfill that. Now, and the second thing, I think he rode in on a donkey because it sends a message to people. He's proclaiming himself as Messiah. Well, how do we know that? What does that mean? Well, if you look at 1 Kings chapter 1, verses 32 through 35, it says this, King David said, call in Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaniah, son of Jehoiada. When they came before the king, he said to them, take your Lord's servants with you and have Solomon my son mount on my own mule. Take him down to Gion, There have Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him as king over Israel. Blow the trumpets and shout, long live King Solomon. Then you're to go up with him, and he is to come and sit on my throne and reign in my place. And I'll appoint him ruler over Judah and Israel. So it looks as though this precedent had been set before Jesus, wasn't it? Where Solomon came on a donkey. He could have came on a horse. But we know that a donkey is a cross between a horse and a mule. And he was led to be the king of Israel. So why didn't Solomon come on a horse? Well, the reason is a horse was used as a symbol of war, whereas a mule or a donkey was a symbol of peace. So Jesus wasn't coming in to fight the war they thought by coming on a horse. He was coming in as a peaceful king, as a ruler. But he was proclaiming his kingship by coming in on the donkey. And you would think the people would have known that if they had known anything about Old Testament, right, at that time. But it's probable to think they may not have. Because how many people today don't know anything about the history of the Bible? And we've had that for years and years. And don't know the things, but these are prophesied beforehand. Verse 7 says, they brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. So what's the significance of the cloaks and the palm branches? Well, the palm branch is a symbol of victory, triumph, peace, eternal life, originating in the ancient Near East and the Mediterranean world. Palm branches were reserved for honor and royalty. So to put a palm branch down was for royalty and honor. They were often depicted on coins and buildings, and Solomon had palm branches carved into the walls and doors of his temple. And again, at the end of the Bible, the people from every nation raised their palm branches in honor of Christ. So if you look in Revelation 7:9, you'll see that they had palm branches as well. But these people are honoring their expected king. They thought he was an earthly king. Verse 9 says, the crowds went ahead of him, and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. So we see Jesus getting the royal treatment, isn't he? Putting their palm branches down, their cloaks. They're going in front and behind him saying, Hosanna. But John says that they're palm branches, so we know that they're palm branches and not just branches. They're also shouting Hosanna, which means in Hebrew, save now. They're asking him to save them now from their affliction, their persecution of Romans. They're hoping he's going to be the king that's going to come and rule. They call him the Mashiach, which means the anointed one. So they know he's supposed to be there. They know he's the anointed one. They think he's going to be an earthly king. According to a source called Judaism 101, this is the characteristic of the Mashiach. He'll be a great political leader descended from King David. He's often referred to as Mashiach ben David, which means son of David. He'll be well-versed in Jewish law, observant of its commandments. He'll be a charismatic leader, inspiring others to follow his example. Be a great military leader who will win his battles for Israel. He'll be a great judge who makes righteous decisions. But above all, he'll be a human being and not a god. A lot of that fits along with Jesus, doesn't it, if you're thinking about those things, but the last part, because Jesus was God and man. So at this point, they saw Jesus as the Mashiach, anointed one, who'd be the battle, the one who's going to win battles for them to be the king, and even called him the Son of David. And they rejoiced at this prospect of being delivered from the Romans through him. So they put their cloaks down, they put their palm branches down, they saw him riding on the donkey, as prophesied in Zechariah. The problem was he wasn't the one who's going to defeat. Thank you. Thank you very much. He wasn't the one who's going to defeat the Romans, was he? But that's what they thought. Thought he's going to defeat the Romans. So you see later on they're disappointed when he's not the one overthrowing the government. He was God's Messiah, but they couldn't make the connection. People today still don't know that or believe that. They ask the question, who is Jesus? And the thing you look back in Matthew 26:63, even the priests say this. The high priest said to him, I charge you under oath by living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God. Wouldn't you think the priests who knew all these things would have recognized that he was? And yet they're still asking him. So who is this man that we honor on Palm Sunday? Who is the one who rode on a donkey like a king. They should have checked his resume, shouldn't they? You can go on pages and pages and pages. I put together a resume of what I thought would be Jesus' resume if he had to write one out. If they would have checked, they would have found a few things. Now, BibleHistory.com tells about Jesus in chronological order. So I've taken some of those things and written them down. If he had a resume, what would he put on it? He put Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Son of the Highest. Contact number, P-R-A-Y-E-R. That's how you get a hold of him. Profession, Savior of the world, King of kings, Lord of lords. Then you look at his professional preparation. How was he prepared for all these things? He was from the line of David, which is what this shows you. If you look through here, David, you'll find out where Mary and Joseph are, and then Jesus comes in. There's so many different lines in here. I only put this up as an example, but you can go through and look at the history and see his lineage all the way through where it comes through. Matthew 1 says, it's the book of genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So if you want to know where he came from, look in there. He was sent by God. Luke 1 says, the angel said to her, which is Mary, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. He'll be called Jesus. He'll be great. He'll be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He'll reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end. He was baptized by John. Mark 3:16, when he'd been baptized, Jesus came up immediately out of the water. Behold, the heavens opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. He was known as the Word, and he has existed from the beginning. John 1:1-2, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was more than a mere man. He was a Lamb of God, born to take away not only the sins of the world, but our sins also. John 1:29 says, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's his professional preparation. That's how he was prepared. So what skills did he have? They always ask in your resume, what are your skills? What's your professional preparation? So you got to try to list all the things that you've done, right? But it's got to be pertinent to that situation. One of his skills, teacher. Teaching in the temple at the age of 12. Doesn't say he went and got his teaching degree, did it? But he was endowed by God to be able to teach. So Luke 2:45-47. So when they did not find him, this is Mary and Joseph, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. So can you imagine a 12-year-old teaching them and they're teaching him? 12 years old, you're going to be like, who are you, kid? But then he says things you can't answer or ask you questions you don't know. He also turned water into wine. I'm not going to read all these. This is in John chapter 2. He cast out unclean spirits from man in the temple. He healed Simon's mother-in-law. He healed a leper. He walked on the Sea of Galilee. He fed 4,000 men, not including women and children. And he rebuked the religious leaders. So what references would he have? Who's gonna vouch for him? Well, first of all, God. Matthew 3:17, suddenly a voice came from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. So God himself is saying, this is my Son. How do you refute that? You know, when you call them up and they ask for your references, you know, what can you say about this person? If you ever went to a job interview and had people call your references and ask about you, ask questions about you? So Jesus says, well, just call God. He'll give me a reference. Elizabeth and her unborn baby would be a reference for him as well. Luke 1:41 says it like this. When Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Ever happened to any of you? You spoke and the Holy Spirit leapt in a baby? I don't think so. That's a once-in-a-life occurrence. The wise men could have vouched for him. Matthew 2:1-2, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod, behold, the wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. A couple more references he might have used. Peter, Andrew, James, and John would have vouched for him. The 12 disciples he appointed would give him a good reference. Any other information? At the bottom of the resume, you usually put down other things, right? Whatever things you've done. John 6, he tells people that he's the bread of life. He was tempted like us, but he didn't give in, so he was sinless. Which is Luke 4, 12 and 13. And Jesus answered to him and said, "It's been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." When the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. He had a mission to go to Jerusalem to be killed. That's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and raised on the third day. This is his beginning of his mission to go in, knowing where he's going to go and what's going to happen. Think of it in going into surgery for some of you, right, that have been in surgery and you're scared to death, not knowing what's going to happen. The thing is, he knew it was going to happen. He wasn't scared. He was persistent. He was going to go to that mission to fulfill it no matter what. Even when you see him in the garden, when he asked God, basically, is there another plan? God said, no, this is the plan. And he says, okay, I'll do it. But you notice when he was there, he sweat drops of blood because it was going to be an experience. It was going to be hard, but he was going to do it anyway. So how's that for a resume? You like put your name on top of that resume? Probably all the good parts, but not any of the suffering parts, right? Well, all this happened and more, and now he's riding into Jerusalem, preparing to make the ultimate sacrifice. He was in town after town, including Jerusalem, several times. We know that he fed thousands and did miracles, and he taught the temple at least twice. He rebuked the religious. He did all that more and more. I'll switch over. It was going out. I shut it off. So he did all these things and more. And if they were around those towns, you should have known what he had done, right? You should have had an idea what Jesus had done. But they really didn't know who he was. And how many people today don't really know who he is? Say, oh, yes, Jesus, he's in the Bible. I know that. But nothing else. Nothing about what he's done or what he can do or what he will do. How many of our friends and neighbors are saying, you know, who's Jesus? Why do you go to church? What's he done? Why should I believe in him? And then we can tell him, why do we believe? If you've never taken a moment, take a moment sometimes and write down, why do I believe? You can't just say, because I said so. That works until you're about two. After that, you know, even now kids today will question you at three and four. Why? So make sure you have an idea how you can answer. You can tell him Jesus is Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Savior of the world. That he came to earth in the form of man to die as perfect sacrifice for our sins so we could have forgiveness. You can tell them the tomb is empty, our Savior lives. If they have him in their life as their Lord, then they have a place in heaven. You can tell them all those things. Then you say, if you don't believe me, look in God's word. And you can tell them about your life and what he's done for you. Like Linda did this morning. I knew God was there with me. I was going through all these things. I couldn't see what was happening. All those things around me were crumbling, literally, right? Ceiling, lights, whatever, water coming everywhere. Went outside in the dark, didn't have my cane, didn't know where I was going, but God guided me to that door so I could knock. When I'm going through life and hard times, terrible things I can't explain, God's there to be with me, to guide me, to direct me, because he's Lord of everything. Doesn't matter my circumstances, my situation, where I am, who I'm around. He's still God. He never changes. His word is still true. And heaven is still the place I'm going to end up. So if anybody asks who Jesus is, you can tell them about his resume. He's not dead, but he's alive. Imagine the disciples on Friday when he's crucified, how they all scattered because the one they thought was the Messiah was dead. He told them several times, didn't he, what was going to happen, but they kind of lost it. They just kind of fell apart, that he was going to rise again on the third day. And then when it happened, the interesting thing is we might talk about this on Easter. The women were there. The women were there at the tomb. Came on Palm Sunday. It says in Matthew 21:5 that the king is coming. Hosanna, save us now. That's what we should be saying, shouldn't we? God, save us now. Save our friends. Save our family. Help us to be an instrument to tell others how they can be saved. The world is drowning. They need to be saved. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for sending your son, Jesus, to come in the form of a baby, to be fully human, fully man, to do all the things he did in his resume, that to save people's lives, to raise people from the dead, to walk on water, to turn water into wine, to use loaves of bread and fish to feed thousands, to cast out demons, to do all these things, Lord, and yet people still didn't seem to know who he was. So God, help us today to know who he is. He's Lord of lords, King of kings. He's our Savior. Help us to proclaim that to others as well. Give us your strength, Lord. Help us to rejoice, not in his death, but in his resurrection. And to be thankful for the price that he paid for each of us, that we may serve him until we join him. In your name, amen.
Just going to sing the first verse of How Deep the Father's Love as we make our way out.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure.
As we go into this week, the wounds did mar the chosen one, and it brought many sons to glory. I just pray that we truly grasp that he died for us and our neighbors and our family, and that we live that out. In Jesus' name, amen.